You know, when you step out of your front door in New York City, or even if you're just navigating the surrounding suburbs, there's this unspoken rhythm you just have to accept.
Right, yeah, like a choreography.
Exactly. You've got the rumble of the subway beneath your feet, the sirens bouncing off the brick, you know, the delivery bikes weaving through gridlock like they're playing a video game.
It is a completely chaotic symphony.
It really is. And yet, most of the time, it just works.
Well, we are talking about millions of people and thousands of tons of metal moving at high speeds in very confined spaces. We all implicitly trust that everyone else is going to follow the rules of the dance. It's
Yeah.
just a massive daily exercise in trust.
It's an incredible act of collective faith, honestly. But then you have these horrifying moments that just they shatter that faith completely.
Absolutely.
Like we're looking at a recent tragic incident in Corona, Queens. A woman is walking, doing everything right. She's in the crosswalk, and she's struck by a gray Ford. The impact is fatal. And the driver,
They don't stop.
they just don't stop. They don't jump out to help or,
Yeah.
you know, call 911. They literally just step on the gas and vanish into the labyrinth of the city.
It's chilling.
It is a completely jarring reality check about the sheer physical danger you face every single day just trying to navigate these streets.
It truly is. I mean, it's not just an accident in that moment. It's the instantaneous, violent breaking of that social contract you just mentioned.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
it leaves behind a wake of absolute devastation, like obviously physical and emotional, but what we often don't talk about is how it's legally and financially devastating as well.
Right, which is exactly our mission for this deep dive today. We are pulling back the curtain on the harsh, often hidden realities of motor vehicle accidents in the New York metropolitan area.
It's such a vital conversation for anyone living here.
It is. We're going to walk through exactly what you need to do in those terrifying, chaotic minutes immediately following a crash. We're going to explore the hidden legal rights you possess, even if the driver who hit you becomes the total ghost. And we'll explain why, when you are up against the massive algorithmic machinery of insurance companies, having an elite advocate on your side isn't just a luxury, it's an absolute necessity for your survival.
The aftermath of an accident is an incredibly complex landscape, and the stakes for the victims and their families could not possibly be higher.
So let's start with the anatomy of the crisis itself,
Yeah.
because that tragic hit and run in Corona, Queens, it isn't some isolated anomaly, right?
Unfortunately, no, not at all.
It's part of a much broader epidemic stretching across all the boroughs and right up into Westchester County.
Yeah, hit and run collisions are shockingly common, and they cluster in very specific breeding grounds.
Like where?
We're talking about busy intersections, high traffic crosswalks, densely populated residential neighborhoods, commercial corridors that are buzzing with activity, and areas where nighttime visibility is just inherently low.
And the contributing factors are just a toxic mix, right? I mean, you have heavy bumper-to-bumper traffic leading to extreme frustration.
Oh, the road rage is real.
Yeah. And then you have an epidemic of distracted driving. People are staring at their phones, texting, checking maps instead of looking at the road.
Plus, speeding, impaired driving, and sometimes just a blatant, simple failure to yield to a pedestrian who clearly has the right of way.
Right. And in densely populated boroughs like Queens or, you know, throughout the really busy arteries of Westchester, those factors combine to create a perfect storm.
Precisely. But the cruelest aspect of a hit and run specifically isn't just the impact itself. Leaving the scene of an accident is a criminal offense in New York.
Right.
And it's a crime for a very specific biological reason.
Because it leaves the victim stranded in their absolute most vulnerable moment.
Exactly. It actively delays life-saving emergency medical treatment. In a severe trauma situation, medical professionals talk about the golden
The
hour.
golden hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that critical 60-minute window following a traumatic injury where prompt medical treatment has the highest likelihood of preventing death.
Wow. So when a driver flees, that golden hour is just ticking away while the victim is left alone on the asphalt, bleeding, waiting for a bystander just happen to notice them and call for help.
That's horrifying.
The driver who flees is literally prioritizing their own escape over the very life of the person they just struck.
Okay, let's unpack this. A hit and run is essentially like a crime scene where the most critical piece of evidence, the weapon itself, just drives away. It vanishes into thin air.
That's a very accurate way to put it.
So, in that terrifying, chaotic moment right after the impact, when your ears are ringing and the adrenaline is pumping, what are the absolute first steps a victim or a bystander must take?
Well, this raises an important question. Because in a bustling, kinetic city like New York, evidence vanishes faster than you can blink.
Yeah, it really does.
So the very first step is non-negotiable. Call 911 immediately. You need police and emergency medical services on the scene as fast as humanly possible to stop that golden hour clock.
But what if you think you aren't that badly hurt? Because you see this all the time. Somebody gets bumped in a crosswalk or rear-ended on the parkway. They feel fine. They're just annoyed. And they just want to go home.
You must seek medical attention regardless. This is a critical biological trap.
A trap. How so?
In the aftermath of a sudden trauma, your body's sympathetic nervous system kicks into absolute overdrive. It floods your system with adrenaline, cortisol, and endorphins.
Right. The fight or flight response.
Exactly. It is an evolutionary painkiller designed to help you run from a predator. You might have a fractured rib, micro tears in your spinal ligaments, internal bleeding, a severe concussion.
And you just wouldn't know.
You will genuinely not feel a thing until hours or even days later when that chemical cocktail finally wears off.
Wow, so you feel fine, but you're actually seriously injured.
Right, so seeking medical attention immediately protects your physical health. And crucially, it creates a contemporaneous time-stamped medical record linking your trauma directly to the crash.
That makes total sense. Your body is lying to you to keep you alive, so you need a doctor to tell you the truth.
Beautifully said, yes.
So what about the scene itself?
If you are physically able, or if a bystander can help, you need to freeze time. Photograph the scene.
Like everything.
Everything. The position of the vehicles, if there are any left, the skid marks on the pavement, the weather conditions, the lighting, your visible injuries. Gather witness names and cell phone numbers right then and there.
Because if they leave.
People have good intentions, but once they walk away from that intersection, they are gone forever. You also need to look around for surveillance cameras, bodega storefronts, traffic cams, doorbell cameras, and secure that footage.
Because digital evidence decays incredibly fast. I mean, a bodega isn't keeping its security tape from a random Tuesday afternoon for a month.
No, not at all.
Those systems loop and overwrite every 24 or 48 hours. If you don't get it immediately, that visual proof of the weapon driving away is just deleted forever.
Precisely. The physical and digital evidence is incredibly fleeting. And that fading evidence connects directly to the looming financial and legal maze that victims are about to face.
Especially when the at-fault driver is never caught and remains a total phantom.
Yes. That is the part that always feels so hopeless to people.
Right. If the driver is a ghost, who pays for the ambulance ride? Who pays for the spinal surgery? Or the months of lost wages? The physical therapy?
It feels hopeless, but this is a massive misconception. This is where a crucial legal mechanism called uninsured motorist coverage, or UM coverage, comes into play.
Okay, what is that?
Even when the at-fault driver vanishes, victims still have options for compensation through their own insurance avenues or a household member's policy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. New York law requires insurance policies to have provisions specifically designed for this exact nightmare scenario. Essentially, your own insurance company steps into the legal shoes of the phantom driver who hit you.
Wait, I have to stop you there. I want to push back on this. Mm-hmm. Because if I use my own insurance to pay for an accident where a literal criminal hit me and ran away, aren't my premiums going to skyrocket? Am I being punished twice for someone else's crime?
It's a very common fear, but no. Filing a legitimate, uninsured motorist claim for an accident where you are clearly not at fault should not spike your premiums.
Really?
Yes. You are paying for this specific bucket of coverage every single month precisely to protect yourself from uninsured or hit-and-run drivers. You're just utilizing a benefit you already bought.
Okay, that is a huge relief to know.
It is. However, there is an absolute golden rule here that everyone needs to internalize.
Which is?
Never speak with any insurance company, even your own, before you understand your legal rights.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I want to push back on human nature again.
Go for it.
We are completely conditioned by decades of advertising to immediately call our insurance company after a fender bender. We pay our premiums, so we think of them as our safety net. They're supposedly a good neighbor or, you know, on our side.
Right, the catchy jingles.
Exactly. Why is picking up the phone and giving them a recorded statement without a lawyer actually a massive trap?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to understand the fundamental business model of the insurance industry. They are massive, publicly traded for-profit corporations.
Right.
They do not generate billions of dollars in quarterly profits by paying out maximum compensation to every injured person. Their fiduciary duty is to their shareholders, not to you.
Wow. I feel like that's pretty stark.
It is. They are highly motivated to minimize payouts.
So when the adjuster calls and says, hey, just checking in, how are you feeling today? They are making small talk.
Absolutely not. Think of that phone call as a friendly cross-examination where you don't even realize you're on the witness stand. The aftermath of an accident is essentially a high-stakes race against time. While you are in a hospital bed, recovering from surgery, dealing with shock, the insurance company has teams of adjusters working against you from minute one.
Teams of them.
And they use sophisticated algorithmic software programs like Colossus that literally calculate the lowest possible dollar value for your human suffering.
Wait, an algorithm? It's based on what?
Zip codes, historical data, arbitrary metrics.
That is so deeply dystopian.
It really is.
So if I say, I'm okay, just a little stiff.
Uh-huh.
On day one, because of that adrenaline we talked about, and on day five, I find out I need spinal surgery, what happens?
They feed that recorded statement right into their software. The algorithm flags it. They will pull up that recording a year later and say, well, you said you were fine on Tuesday. If your back hurts on Friday, you must have injured it somewhere else. Claim denied.
Unbelievable.
You are walking into a trap set by professionals who do this all day, every day. You need an independent investigation and aggressive negotiation on your behalf.
Because you just can't rely on an entity whose financial interest is mathematically opposed to yours.
Exactly. You cannot rely on them to treat you fairly.
Which brings us to the solution. Since fighting these massive corporate algorithms is an intense race against time, you can't just hire any general practice lawyer off a highway billboard, right?
Definitely not. You need a specialist.
You need an advocate that the insurance companies actually fear. And to understand what that looks like in practice, we're going to look at a case study of excellence in this specific field.
Right. If you want to know what it takes to beat the algorithms, you look at someone with a proven, decades-long track record. We are looking closely at the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Okay.
We are talking about an attorney with more than 35 years of experience exclusively protecting injured victims.
35 years. That is a lifetime of standing in courtrooms and staring down these billion-dollar insurance defense teams. And what's fascinating is where he operates. He isn't just practicing in some quiet rural county. He is fighting in some of the most complex, congested, and notoriously dangerous local battlegrounds in the entire country.
Oh, the geography of his practice is extensive. He represents victims throughout Westchester County, White Plains, Yonkers, New Rochelle, Mount Vernon, the Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens.
And let's talk about the specific arteries he covers. Anyone listening to this deep dive who drives in New York knows exactly what my blood pressure is doing right now when I list these roads.
Oh, I'm sure.
The Bronx River Parkway.
Sure.
The Hutchinson River Parkway.
Yeah.
The Sawmill River Parkway. The Cross Bronx Expressway. I-287. I-684.
Those are infamous stretches of pavement.
Right. Take the Sawmill or the Hutch. These parkways were designed in the 1920s for Model Ts traveling at 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, not modern vehicles.
Exactly. Today, you have massive SUVs doing 70 miles an hour on lanes that are incredibly narrow, with zero shoulders, completely blind merges, and trees like 2 feet from the bumper.
It's terrifying.
And then you have the Cross Bronx, or I-287, where the commercial trucking traffic is just relentless. Accidents on these parkways and expressways aren't just little fender benders. The kinetic energy involved means they are often catastrophic collisions.
They are high-speed, high-impact environments. And navigating the legal fallout of a multi-vehicle collision on I-287 requires a highly specialized level of expertise.
Right.
What stands out when you analyze Norman Gershon's practice are a few unique tactical advantages. First, clients only pay if they win.
Let's explain why that matters. That's a contingency fee, right?
Exactly. It completely removes the financial barrier to getting elite representation. You don't need a $50,000 retainer to have a heavyweight in your corner.
Wow, that's huge.
The law firm fronts the cost of the fight. It levels the playing field against insurance companies that have unlimited legal budgets. But the second point is even more telling about his standing in the legal community.
Right. Norman Gershon is recognized as the lawyer other attorneys call to try their toughest cases. Insurance companies know him. And they fear him.
So what does this all mean? In any complex profession, there is a hierarchy. You have the generalists, you have the specialists, and then you have the person the specialists call when they are completely out of their depth.
The closer.
Exactly. When another lawyer has a case that is too medically complex, or they're facing an insurance company that flat out refuses to offer a fair settlement, they bring in Norman Gershon to take it to trial.
Because he's the ultimate closer. But wait, how does a lawyer actually build that kind of intimidating 35-year reputation? Because I imagine you don't get that just by putting out a nice press release or having a catchy jingle. The insurance companies are too smart for that.
Oh, you absolutely don't. A reputation like that isn't built on talk or marketing budgets or bravado. It is built entirely on verdicts.
The receipt.
It's built on cold, hard, mathematically verifiable numbers.
Yeah.
The insurance industry tracks every single lawyer in their databases.
Really? They keep files on the lawyers?
Oh, yes. They know exactly which lawyers will cave and settle for pennies on the dollar just to avoid the stress and expense of a trial. And they know exactly which lawyers will confidently walk into a courtroom, lay out the evidence, and convince a jury to award maximum compensation.
And Norman Gershon is in the latter category.
Firmly in the latter category.
So we're talking about deciphering the verdicts here. It's the literal price of negligence.
Yeah.
The firm's track record is staggering. We are talking about tens of millions of dollars recovered for accident victims.
It's incredible.
And if we look at some of these specific major wins, they really tell a story of just how complex these cases are and how thoroughly they calculate a victim's stolen future.
Let's look at the mechanics behind the numbers. There is a $16.5 million verdict for an automobile passenger injured in a collision with a bus.
Wow.
There is a $14.5 million settlement for a catastrophic bus accident victim.
Those are astronomical figures.
They are, but you have to understand why. A jury doesn't just hand out $16 million because a lawyer asked nicely. When you are dealing with catastrophic injuries, that number represents a meticulously calculated lifetime of needs.
Like medical bills and stuff.
Much more than that. It accounts for decades of inflation-adjusted medical costs, the need for 247 in-home care aides, customized wheelchair-accessible vans, home modifications, and a total loss of future earning capacity.
Oh, I see.
It is about replacing everything that was taken away.
And it continues into motor vehicle collisions. A $5.445 million verdict for a motor vehicle accident. A $5.068 million verdict involving a sideswipe collision.
That sideswipe one is telling.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people hear the word sideswipe and they picture a scraped door in a grocery store parking lot. But at highway speeds on I-684, a sideswipe is a massive transfer of kinetic energy that can easily send a car rolling down a steep embankment.
Exactly. The physics of these crashes are incredibly violent. They also secured a $3.75 million verdict for a serious auto crash and a $3 million verdict for spinal injuries.
And spinal injuries are tough to prove, aren't they?
Notoriously difficult. They often involve soft tissue damage that doesn't always show up perfectly on an initial x-ray, yet they result in chronic, lifelong pain and permanently limited mobility. They also secured a $2.5 million verdict for an intersection crash right in Westchester County.
What's incredible is how the clients describe this process. When you read the client testimonials, they aren't just talking about the money, though obviously those verdicts secure their financial survival. They constantly praise his preparation, his communication, his deep compassion, and a relentless advocacy that consistently exceeds their expectations.
That human element is so important.
They describe feeling confident throughout a process that is explicitly designed by the insurance industry to make them feel small, confused, and powerless.
What's fascinating here is how they achieve these results. These multi-million dollar verdicts aren't lucky accidents. They are the direct product of a highly methodical, almost forensic level of preparation. Norman Gershon takes a deeply aggressive approach to every case. His firm conducts immediate independent investigations. They preserve the critical evidence before it vanishes. And crucially, they have the resources to work with elite accident reconstruction experts.
Let's dive into that. Accident reconstruction. It sounds like a buzzword from a crime procedural show, but what does it actually look like in practice?
It is essentially reverse engineering a bomb using only the blast radius.
Whoa.
Yeah. These experts are physicists and structural engineers. They don't just look at photos. They analyze the crush damage on the vehicles to calculate the exact force of impact.
That's intense.
They measure the yaw marks, the specialized skid marks left by a tire sliding sideways, to determine the exact speed and trajectory of the cars. They download the data from the vehicle's electronic data recorders, the black boxes, which tell them the throttle position, the brake application, and the steering angle in the milliseconds before impact.
So they literally mathematically prove what happened.
They mathematically prove exactly how the accident happened and who was at fault. Norman Gershon prepares every single case using this level of forensic science, treating it from day one as if it is going all the way to a jury verdict.
And that is the secret sauce, isn't it? That's how you beat the Colossus software.
Exactly.
If the insurance adjuster knows the lawyer sitting across the table has already built an airtight, mathematically proven, phenomenally expensive case for trial, they are suddenly highly motivated to settle for a fair amount. Because if they don't, they know Gershon is perfectly happy to let a jury look at the math. It forces their hand.
Precisely. When you prepare relentlessly for war, you often secure peace, or in this case, a substantial, life-altering settlement. But if a trial is necessary, the defense attorneys know they're facing a seasoned trial lawyer who has been dominating in these specific New York courtrooms for over three decades.
It really brings this entire deep dive full circle.
Yeah.
We started by talking about how unpredictable and inherently dangerous the streets of New York City and the highways of Westchester can be.
They really are.
You can be doing absolutely everything right, walking lawfully in a crosswalk in Queens, or checking your blind spots while merging onto the Sawmill River Parkway, and in a fraction of a second, someone else's negligence, a distracted driver, a speeding truck, a hit-and-run phantom, can turn your life completely upside down.
The physical pain and the emotional trauma of that impact are heavy enough burdens to carry. What this analysis reveals is that you absolutely do not have to bear the financial devastation of someone else's negligence alone.
Right.
The law provides powerful remedies, but you have to actively protect your rights before the evidence decays, the golden hour passes, and the insurance companies close the door.
Exactly. You cannot fight this machinery alone. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident, a pedestrian accident, or a hit and run anywhere in Westchester County or New York City, you cannot afford to wait. You need to contact the law offices of Norman Gershon for a free consultation.
And there is zero financial risk to you, because remember, you only pay if you win.
The number you need to call is 914-485-4444. Again, that is 914-485-4444. Do not give a recorded statement to an insurance adjuster. Do not let an algorithm decide what your health is worth, and don't try to navigate this legal maze alone. Get the other lawyer's call.
It is entirely about leveling the playing field against corporate entities with vast resources and ensuring your physical recovery isn't compromised by financial ruin.
So we'll leave you with this thought. We've talked a lot today about the phantom driver who hits and runs, but consider where technology is taking us. As our cars increasingly become rolling computers equipped with 360-degree cameras, and as dash cams become standard equipment rather than aftermarket add-ons, the era of the phantom hit-and-run driver might soon be coming to an end.
That's a great point.
The digital net is tightening, but until the day arrives when every single car on the road is recording every angle, you are your own first line of defense. Protect your evidence, protect your health, and make sure you have the right advocates standing behind you.